If you told me at the beginning of 2020 that every restaurant would be closed to in-service dining and most churches would be live streaming their services to empty sanctuaries, I would have thought you read too much Frank Peretti. But here we are. None of us saw a global pandemic coming. Well, that's not true. God saw this coming. God knew when COVID would come, and good news, he knows when it will go. We shouldn't be surprised that he wasn't surprised. This isn't God's first day on the job. Read his resume. In fact, read it every day. You'll find it full of testimonies of times he guided his people through famines, shortages, sieges, wars, persecution. In times like these, we need more than just a governor. We need a God. And thank God he is with us. He's with us like he was with them. In Acts chapter 3, the church was just born. Thousands were in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and they were born again. The Jews, the Romans, couldn't deny God was doing something different. And they couldn't deny the newborn church skipped crawling and walking. They were already up and running. Luke tweeted in Acts 4:4 that they've got 5,000 believers already. Time to set out more seats. The church was exploding at its newly sown seams. But if you listen closely enough, you can hear the music begin to change. No more trumpets. Now there's a hint of steel guitar. The wind has picked up. It's chillier now. The religious leaders marched up to the apostles while Peter was preaching and arrested them. But for what? They prayed for a lame man. Jesus healed him. End of story. And they couldn't argue with the disciples. Exhibit A was standing right there. Literally, a lame man was standing right there. When they realized they would have had a revolt if they even gave the disciples more than a stern talking to, they sent them away. And from Acts 4 through Acts 28, Jesus' disciples lived in a much different world. From March of 2020 until now, so do we. But the question I want to ask is this that? Are we facing pressure or even persecution like the first century church faced just because of our faith? Maybe, maybe not. And with that indecision, I tell you, you're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to Is This That? On Simplify. In the New Testament, they weren't allowed to assemble in large crowds. That sounds familiar. Neither were we. In April, many in the Christian community were asking, Is this that? Are we facing persecution for our faith? The churches have been closed down. Is this a matter of persecution? Should we stand up against the government and declare our rights to assemble and our rights to worship? Well, I argued in April that this was not that. This was not a matter of faith. This was a matter of health. COVID-19 shut down restaurants, bars, theaters, stadiums, casinos, even little senior citizens' bingo games. COVID-19 shut down the world. But here we are 5 months later, and times have changed. Restaurants, bars, theaters, casinos, even little senior citizens' bingo games are back up and running. They are different now than they were then, but many of them are open indoors. If you drive by a bar, you can see in the windows that guys and gals are screaming at games on the flat screens in the bars again, just like they did before COVID. And protesters and rioters are screaming at each other and at the police in the streets. But where I wonder, California churches are forbidden from singing? Now, I've been to a couple peaceful protests in our city. Even in the peaceful protests, the protesters were marching around our city square, well within 6 feet of each other, and screaming all around the square. And that was okay. I do want to say hats off to our local police. They were handed out waters, and they showed support for the protesters' right to protest. But the protests in California and other parts of the country are not always peaceful. In some cases, the protesters are screaming and spitting in the faces of people just trying to enjoy their pancakes and sausage on the patio. And that's safe, but it's not safe to sing or say the Lord's Prayer? If you've been following the California story, you'll know that some churches are still being fined daily for gathering for worship. One church to the high-priced tune of $52,000. Other churches are facing arrest if they continue to meet together indoors. And so they've been allowed to meet together outdoors, but some of them are still being shut down because of a noise ordinance. One California prosecutor threatened each day, and I quote, "Each day in violation is a separate violation and carries with it a potential punishment of up to 1 year in jail and a fine for each violation," end quote. Someone who has never even been stopped for a California stop in California could potentially spend 10 years locked up because they were singing in church.
So what are you in for?
Singing How Great Thou Art on a Sunday morning. One of the young ladies in the San Diego church is a healthcare professional, and she said the church's COVID policy is stricter than the hospital's. It is harder to get into the doors of the church than into the doors of the hospital. I talked to a friend recently who told me that in order for a guest to come to church and hear the gospel in church, they have to have a member of that church bring them. If someone comes in off the street and just says, "I feel like I should be here today. I want to come and worship. I want to hear what this is all about," they cannot come. Of course, they can watch online, but they can't come and be a part of that worship experience. Because in some of the counties in California, the government has planted people inside those services to report and inform on them, go back to the government, tattle on them, and so the government can shut them down. But the part of the California crackdown that surprised me most was this statement, and I quote, "This also extends to home Bible studies," end quote. I'm 2,200 miles away from San Diego, so I don't feel the frustration my Christian brothers and sisters feel in California. But I would understand if every large business and building and assembly and meeting room and conference center and bar and restaurant was closed for fear of an outbreak of a large group of people gathering together, but they're not. It is churches. The government's order has applied to churches. But home Bible studies? At what point can the governor or any other leader, especially elected leader, legislate that a Christian family cannot invite another family into their own home to teach them a Bible study? Now, maybe Governor Gavin Newsom is a swell stand-up guy. Maybe he's just looking out for the safety of his citizens. It can't be easy governing an entire state of people, all screaming at the same time for you to change everything and keep everything the same all at the same time, while battling wildfires and not-so-peaceful protests and the impending fear of an earthquake that could rip apart any California city on any given day. I feel for the governor. In fact, I call on our California churches to pray daily for their governor. Maybe Governor Newsom's motives are as pure as the driven snow in Lake Tahoe. Maybe he's the most misunderstood man in the state. Or maybe this really is that. And maybe he really is trying to shut the church down. But as we read the New Testament and we read history, the fastest way to get the church to grow is to press it, persecute it. Leave the church alone and it grows gradually. Try to shut it down and it grows exponentially. God's church grows fastest when his church is pressed. When Nero tried to end it for the Apostle Paul, he had him sentenced to house arrest until he would be executed, and Paul paid the bill for his own house arrest. But while chained only 18 inches away from and to a rotation of special forces Roman soldiers, Paul preached the gospel to them, and some of them believed. And they went home to tell their family about the Jesus they heard Paul tell them about. And their family told another family who told another family who told somebody in Nero's family. And we read a curious, encouraging footnote in Philippians 4:22 that reads, "All God's people send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." Nero Claudius Caesar tried to stamp out Christianity, and all he did was spread it farther and faster than any virus could ever spread. People in Caesar's employ, even in his own family, heard the gospel and were saved and became Christians. So if this is that, if this is pressure or persecution, and Christians end up forfeiting their freedom because of their faith, learn a lesson from history. We'll just start a jail ministry from the inside out. And we'll spread the gospel to every inmate, CO, attorney, judge, and everybody who will listen. You may be able to press the church, but you can't stop it. and the people persecuting the church may soon find out that some of their own family and friends and employees are part of the very church they're persecuting, because God will have a church, and God's church will have revival. I'd like you to join with me in praying that God would help our brothers and sisters, especially in California, and certainly around the world where they're facing persecution that is even more severe than imprisonment or fines, but even where they're losing their life. I'd like us to pray that God would not only protect, but that he would also use the church to be a light to the world, and that he would grow his church through the pressure and the persecution that the world tries to put on it. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for our brothers and sisters in California. Pray right now for our brothers and sisters all around the world who are facing pressure and persecution. I ask you, God, let your church grow. Keep your hand on pastors. Keep your hand on the churches. I pray, God, you would not allow the church to falter or fail. In this very critical hour, I pray, give us courage. Help us to know what to do. Help us to know when it's right to abide by the laws and when it's right to stand up. We ask you, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us direction. Help us to do everything we do in the right spirit, the right attitude. I ask you today, if this is that, give us the courage and the strength we need to stand when we need to stand. And I pray, use us for your glory. Bring revival to the world, I pray, and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope this episode has been a help to you and give you a little bit of perspective or context. I know there are some listening who disagree, who feel like this is all just overblown by the church. And who knows? Maybe some of it is. Or maybe if you're living in California and you feel the winds of persecution blowing against you, maybe you can tell a guy like me in the Bible Belt of the Midwest that this is not just an overblown conspiracy. This really is happening, and we need to take a stand. Either way, I want to hear from you. Let me know on Facebook. You can reach me at lj.harry, or on Instagram or Twitter, LJAndAndrea, LJAndAndrea. Or if you're listening on Podbean, you can comment right there directly on Podbean. But thank you so much for tuning in to Simplify. If you would like a copy of the devotional from which this podcast was launched, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com. It's available in print or Kindle. You can also get it at Amazon if you want to get a copy. Next week, we're going to have our very first interview, and it will be with Pastor Art Hodges from San Diego, California, who has been at the center of part of this religious freedom war that the churches in California have been waging. In fact, even took a case all the way to the United States Supreme Court that was tried by the Supreme Court justices. Well, he's going to be on the show next week, and I'm going to interview him and just ask him what his experience has been there in California, if they feel those winds of persecution blowing. And then I do know, because I've got the inside story, God has been doing some amazing things in the church there in South Bay at San Diego, and he's going to hopefully share some of that with us next week. I'm looking forward to that, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.